All right, Luke chapter 15, and we will be starting with verse number 11, a very familiar passage of Scripture. So let's go ahead and read. We won't read the whole passage. I think you're familiar with it enough where we don't have to do that. But let's go ahead and read a couple of verses, then we'll ask God's blessing as we look into His Word. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. And He said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Father, we're grateful for this portion of your word. There's so much here for us to learn from it, so many different angles we could take. But Father, we ask this morning that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and apply the truths, the simple truths from your word to our hearts, that we would be bettered for it, more equipped to serve you and encouraged to remain faithful. And so we'll thank you for all that you'll do now in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest concerns I have as a pastor, and I'm not alone in it. In fact, I was talking to another pastor this week, and he is very concerned. He says, when we can finally get back to worshiping in our building, he says, I don't know what I'll have left. During the time when folks can't get together for church, like the Lord has commanded us, there's a great danger and a great temptation to fall away from the faith, to go prodigal, just like this young man that we know as the prodigal son, to leave off the things of God and to find ourselves in a far country doing things that we ought not to do. And so, as I said, it's also my concern, how many people will backslide spiritually in a terrible way simply because they can't gather for church? We try our best to make it available online, but as you can lead a horse to water, as the old saying goes, you can't make them drink. And so we can make it available, but we don't know who and who isn't tuning in. We don't know who has decided something else is more important than church on the Lord's Day. There's no accountability here. And so it would be easy, and the temptation at times like this are very great, to become a prodigal. And so this morning I want to consider this account just simply from the perspective of the prodigal's problems. What were the attitudes that he had that caused him to wind up in such a bad state as he found himself in? And I think if we identify where he went wrong, it will help us identify if we're harboring any of those attitudes or if they're beginning to take form in our own lives. And so then we can recognize it and go the other way to keep ourselves from becoming a prodigal. So the first thing that I believe that we find that went wrong in this young man's life is that he had the wrong priorities. He had the wrong priorities. He didn't understand what life was all about. And we find this in verse number 12. When he demands of his father that the father then give him early his inheritance. Now this portion would normally be divided at the death of the father. That's the way an inheritance is normally distributed. And yet here we have the young man demanding of his father to give him his inheritance early. The amazing thing is that the father did it instead of reproving his son. And we could talk about the father and maybe he shouldn't have done that and leading to heartbreak in the father's life and the son's life by catering to the whims of the children. But what we're talking about is that this young man, the prodigal son, had the wrong priorities. He thought money and pleasure were the whole purpose of life. He didn't realize that there were greater things in life than those two items. And so if you were in Sunday school, we heard a little bit about putting money first and the love of money being the root of all evil. And so it's important that we realize why God placed us here. The Bible tells us that we've been created for God's pleasure. Look over, if you would, in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. If you go to the book of Psalms, most people can find that. And then turn to the right a little bit, you'll run past the 31 chapters of Proverbs. And the very next book is the book of Ecclesiastes. If you find yourself in Isaiah or Jeremiah, you've gone too far. And so sandwiched between Psalm and Proverbs and between Isaiah and Jeremiah, you'll find Ecclesiastes. In the last chapter, in the last couple of verses of the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Now, just by a way of summarizing the book of Ecclesiastes, this book was written by Solomon, who was very wealthy. It was written by Solomon, who is the king of Israel. It's written by Solomon, who is a very wise man, the wisest man probably that ever walked the face of the earth. And that was by the blessing of God to give him that wisdom. And yet, as he was reigning and had everything going his way, he lost hope. He lost his focus. He couldn't figure out what the purpose of life was. And I think if we evaluate Solomon's life, we would find out that he too was a prodigal. It took a few years to get there, but he turned away from God before it was all done. But in the process, and this is what Ecclesiastes is all about, he's trying to find the whole purpose of life. And so he applied himself to just about everything that man does to keep themselves occupied or what they live for. And then he comes down to the conclusion of the matter in verse number 13. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God, and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And so Solomon, after trying every avenue of life, every purpose, every goal that man lives for, says all of that is vanity. Vanity of vanities is the key phrase of the book of Ecclesiastes. He tried it all and said it is not fulfilling. He says there's only one thing in life that will bring your desired satisfaction, and that's simply fear God and keep His commandments. Unfortunately, back in Luke chapter 15, this young man, this prodigal son, did not understand that. He thought life was all about money, and he thought life was all about pleasure. And so that's what he lived for, and that was his first step in the wrong direction. That was the first problem that he encountered. The second problem that we find in this young man's life is the first part of verse 13. We find out that he was in the wrong place. In verse number 13, the first part, it says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country." He wasn't under the protection of the father anymore. He wasn't under the protection or the influence of the father any longer. He no longer had the father to go to for advice. He no longer had to answer to the father. He was in a far country. That's the wrong place. He was a stranger in a strange land, in a place that he didn't belong. And in this strange land, this far country, he found himself in new temptation that he had never experienced before. Temptation that was far stronger than he ever imagined possible. And there weren't the positive influences encouraging him to do the right thing and to live the moral life. And so he was in the wrong place, and being in the wrong place, it led him to all kinds of different difficulties. Too often, Christians find themselves in the wrong place. Sometimes when we are struggling with sin, we just need to avoid certain places. A drunkard has no business being in a bar, does he? Or in a place that serves booze. Because the temptation will be greater than what he's able to endure. And so we just have to have a little bit of wisdom, understanding ourselves and understanding our hearts and how they're desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. and realize that we may, in our pride, think that we have the strength to endure the temptation, but we've got to realize that that is nothing more than pride, and that pride goeth before a fall. And we need to make sure we don't find ourselves in the wrong place. There's places we need to avoid as Christians. I said all along that Christians don't have any business taking a vacation to Las Vegas, Nevada. Sin City, they call it. That ought to tell you all you need to know right there. You have no business being there as a Christian. Christians have no business being in any establishment that serves booze. Because the temptation will be there. It'll destroy your testimony if you can resist the temptation. There's wrong places where Christians ought not to be. Christians have no business being in the movie house. And I can go on and on about where Christians ought not to be. You see, the prodigal's problem was he was in the wrong place. And he had the wrong priorities. And those two along are a recipe for disaster. But it doesn't stop there. In the second half of the verse we're in, verse number 13 of Luke 15, we find not only did he have the wrong priorities, not only was he in the wrong place, but we also find that he enjoyed the wrong pastimes. He enjoyed the wrong pastimes. Just picking up where we are here in verse number 13 about being in the far country, it says, "And there wasted his substance with riotous living." Riotous living. He had the wrong pastimes. Now, riotous living would include a lot of different things. Basically just living the partying life. And maybe some of us older folks don't understand what the partying life is like young people do today. But it's not a good environment. I remember when Philip was at Winford High School, and they had, do you remember what that program was called, Amy? Dare. Yeah, DARE. It was a drug prevention program, and trying to teach kids to stand up against drugs. And then they had the graduation ceremony for it. And we went there. Philip had written a essay that he had gotten an award for, and he was supposed to be able to read it for the program. And it was just like the party. The atmosphere was just like the parties that I went to before I got saved. And we left. And he never did get his award and never did get to read his essay. And before we left, I talked to the man in charge, and he assured me he was going to change some things. And he pretended to change things, the volume on the noise coming through the sound speakers. And he lied to me, just flat out lied to me, and that's when I had enough. You see, the wrong pastimes. We can't act like the world and think we're not going to become like the world. And that's exactly what was going on there. They were teaching the kids to enjoy the wrong pastimes while they're telling everybody else and spending our tax dollars telling us that they're trying to teach the kids to avoid those things. There's things that Christians ought not be involved in. And I've said all along, Christians have no business buying a lottery ticket. If you do and you win, don't tithe off that lottery ticket, because God does not want that type of money. If you tell me that you're giving you want $1 million and you're tithing your 10% off of that, and you're going to give it to the church, and you come with a check to my office, I'm going to tell you to take it home or I'll tear it up if it's a personal check. We won't take it because God doesn't operate in that way. You see, there's things Christians ought not to do. Don't enjoy the wrong pastimes. You need to learn to enjoy things that pass the muster of God's Word. And so this was a problem the prodigal had. He enjoyed the wrong pastimes. I remember when I first got saved, you know what I hated? Christian music. Man, I couldn't stand it for nothing. Because I was used to that heavy beat and the screaming guitars and the screaming supposed singers. And I was addicted to that stuff. But boy, you try to give me any of that stuff today. Man, I hate that stuff. And I love godly music. You see, it doesn't always happen overnight. Sometimes you just have to know, and it's not your heart, it's not your desire, it's just you know because of the Word of God instructing you, aided by the Holy Spirit of God, that something is wrong with this. And even though I enjoy it, it's wrong. Therefore, I'm going to cease doing it. And even though the things that God tells me I can do don't seem to be fun, I will learn to enjoy it. And you know what will happen? If you're in that situation right now where you have to discipline your life that way, you know what will happen? Those things that were just as dry as the Arabian desert, having a complete absence of life and fun, you will get more pleasure and more enjoyment out of those things than you did over those things that God's Word forbade. More than you ever will. I'll guarantee you that. But you've got to put God to the test, and you've got to not give up after a week or two, and you've got to discipline your life and be faithful. Otherwise, you're in grave danger, if you're not already a prodigal, of becoming a prodigal. You see, this young man had the wrong priorities. He was in the wrong place. He enjoyed the wrong pastimes. Moving down now to verse number 15, we find a fourth problem this young man had. We find that he chose the wrong partner. He chose the wrong partner. Now, when we use the word partner today, we're thinking people living together as if they're married, and that's not at all what I mean here. He had the wrong friends. Okay, I'm trying to alliterate with P's, and so the only word I could come up with is partner. And it tells us that he joined himself, there in verse number 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. The problem was he's in the wrong place and there were no Christians there. There were no right people to join himself to. And so the only thing he had left, because he's in the wrong place, are the wrong friends, the wrong partners, and that led him to a great deal of problems and heartache. He finds himself in a pig pen. I've never raised pigs, but I hear they're not the most pleasant animals to work with because of a particular odor. Now, we lived for about 6 months right next to a large pig farm. But we were downwind, so we have no idea what it's all about. But we've heard some stories when we told people that that's where we lived. And this is where this young man finds himself. And what makes it even worse for him is he's a Jew. And to the Jews, pigs were unclean. This tells us that there's absolutely no opportunity for worship for this young man. Because he had the wrong friends, he found himself in the worst possible life scenario. The friends we hang around with are important. Too often we don't think it's all that important. But everywhere in God's Word, He makes the emphasis in our lives that we need to be careful about who we hang around with. The people we choose to spend our free time with. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have or you can't have friends that are of this world, that are not saved. You should be friends with them. But they ought not to be joined to with that close friendship. That's why church attendance is so important and why there's such a grave danger is we don't have the fellowship opportunities. And so I'll tip my hat a little bit. One of the missionaries I'm going to talk about is Tim Gunther in New Zealand. And they are going to start this coming Wednesday because they're in the same boat we are, not able to have church services in the building. They're going to, some internet program, I think it was called Zoom or something like that, where they can actually interact with each other over the internet while they're each in their own homes. And so trying to make it more like a church service because the bottom line is we need each other. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's help. We need each other's prayers. And if we absent ourselves from the Lord's house, we don't get that like we need that. And then we find ourselves joining ourselves to a citizen of the country and talking to them as if they're our brother in Christ and confiding with them, and they will lead us astray. I'll guarantee it, they will lead us astray because they have no concern for the Word of God. They have no concern for the things of God. They have no concern for holiness or righteousness. And so we need to be careful. This is a problem the prodigal had as he chose the wrong partner. Well, we know what he did while he's there as he's feigning to eat the pig's food. Look at Let's just start with verse 16. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. Now my question is, we're still on point number four, he chose the wrong partner. Why didn't he do that from the beginning? Why did he join himself to a citizen of the country? Why didn't he just go to his father's house from the beginning? Well, maybe the answer is that it's hard to say I was wrong. There's a great deal of embarrassment in that and doing that. And so, I don't know what this man's problem was, but he made a bad decision, and he's a prodigal. But he did finally make it home. But there's one other problem I want to talk about, and this is as he's considering going home, and even as he gets home. Because we just read what he thought he should do, and he follows through on that in the verses that follow. And he goes to his father and presents himself and apologizes, and he says, "I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." Now, how did the father respond? Did he say, "Why, you wicked sinner, get out of here"? No, he doesn't reject him. Does he say, "Well, you're such a disappointment and a failure in life, your inheritance is blown, therefore you can come back as a servant"? Is that the response of the father? And I think we all know better than that, don't we? The father kills the fatted calf. They have a wonderful feast of welcoming him back home, puts the best robe and rings on his fingers. In other words, he welcomes him as his son. But backing up a little bit to the attitude of the prodigal, because we're looking at the prodigal's problems. Now, the problem with the prodigal wasn't his father. The father welcomed him home. The problem is that the prodigal imagined the wrong ponderings. Again, I was stretching for a P word for my alliteration. But when he was in that pig pen and he was concocting the idea that he needs to get back home and realizing that, and good for him to get that far, but he was thinking the wrong thoughts. You see, he didn't understand the father. He was afraid the father wouldn't accept him. He was afraid the father wouldn't forgive him. He was afraid the father wouldn't receive him. And you know, if you're a prodigal tonight, or excuse me, this morning, and you have been walking out of fellowship with God, you probably are thinking those same thoughts. God will never forgive me. I've done too much. I've gone too far. I've been too wicked. The problem is you just don't understand the forgiveness of God. I'm working on a message right now on the forgiveness of God, and I don't want to tip my hat on that, otherwise you won't listen to the end when I preach it. But just something as I was reading through my Bible this year that just really jumped out and punched me right between the eyes on the forgiveness of God. But he tells us in numerous places in the Word of God, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." God is a wonderful God of forgiveness. But if you have sin in your life and you're out of fellowship with God, you're probably thinking the same thoughts that this young man did. Afraid the Father won't forgive. Afraid the Father won't accept. Afraid the Father won't receive you. And nothing could be further from the truth. God is calling us to come on home. Forgiveness is full. The blood of Christ is sufficient. And so while we have to absent ourselves from church, Don't neglect the worship services. Be there every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Sunday school. Stay online at 10:30 for the morning service. Tune back in at 6:30 for the evening service, and then again on Wednesday at 7 for the midweek service. Be in your scriptures. Be in your Bible. Be praying faithfully. There is no accountability except before Almighty God. Remember what Solomon said back in Ecclesiastes when he came to the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments. But then the last verse of Ecclesiastes says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. In other words, you're going to stand before God someday. Be a whole lot nicer and pleasanter on that day if we never became a prodigal. And so if you're harboring any of these problems that the prodigal son did, identify them and then repent of them. Father, we thank You for Your word. Bless it to our hearts now as we each make decisions in our own lives. May Your Holy Spirit drive the message home to our hearts and apply it as needed. And Father, may we make decisions that honor and glorify You. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.